You're listening to Games of Future Past on the Fat Gatsby Network.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Games of Future Past.
Crunch, crunch, crunch.
Excuse me. Was there... Everyone loading up on food and getting ready to do a podcast. Seriously. Yeah. Hey, it's 2016. This is Tim. Dave is here.
Hey.
And joining us once again is Weiss.
Everyone making groans.
Yeah, and we are we're doing our second annual Backlog of the Year Awards.
Yes.
Woo-hoo. Yes.
I love that this is becoming a thing.
Yes. Yeah. I know.
I should have kept better records this year, but I did pretty good.
I kept good records. I was just like mad that I didn't play enough old stuff. I didn't play a lot of old stuff. I'm like, man, fuck, I did not get chip into my backlog like at all. And that's what happens when you... Apparently that was the thing that actually suffered from me having a kid, was me playing old games.
the new games are fine.
And also the thing that suffered from me playing The Witcher for hundreds of fucking hours.
Yeah, I'm sure that diverted a good deal.
This is a big problem I have realized I have in general, is that the games I really like to play are fucking long.
Yeah.
I love my RPGs, and... they can take a while.
I found this year that I did not play a lot of what we would call retro games. I just literally caught up on games from the past few years. So a lot of our categories that are specifically about like, this doesn't hold up anymore. I'm like, what, from 2010? So I'll try.
At least, yeah. I had enough, but.
All right. So let's go down the category list as it's written. Best 2014 game in 2015. Dave.
Shovel Knight.
Oh, yeah.
I played Shovel Knight in 2015, and it like is very close to being the best video game I played this year. Between that and my official 2015 game of the year, Axiom Verge, I think Shovel Knight beats it out by a hair, but just a hair. It's so damn good. Everything about it is so damn good. It's such an exceptional video game.
I almost picked that just because of Plague of Shadows.
Yeah.
Keeping it alive.
Me? The exact same thing as Dave, Shovel Knight. And same sentiment with Axiom Verge as well. I will note that, you know, if I hadn't played Shovel Knight, Hateful Boyfriend would have won, and for good reason, even though it doesn't feel like it. On the surface.
Unironically.
As an excellent game, I'm sorry Shovel Knight came out.
my best 2014 game in 2015 is Hearthstone Heroes of Warcraft, I continue to play all the time. But also had a hell of a year with two adventure expansions and one large card expansion. Continued to spice things up and make things interesting. And especially like the last adventure they did, the cards that came along with that have been very fun. And spice things up considerably. Cool. That continues to be my go-to game while watching a baby. And I was amused to see Brad Meier, formerly of Double Fine, now of Valve.
Yeah.
Also his go-to baby time game is Hearthstone.
I forgot he left.
Yeah.
Probably because of all the documentaries that he's still in.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he only like just started at Valve like recently. Right. Yeah. Cool. All right. Next category. Product of its time. Game that could never be made today. Never. Never. Weiss.
All right. I have two answers. Because one, I think Goat Simulator counts. Because I don't think this game could be made any other time than last year. And I don't think it's going to be held up very well in that sense. But the true winner on this one is Toonstruck, only because we've totally lost that sense of irony that comes with playing or with seeing perverted cartoons.
Especially it doesn't play anymore.
No. I mean, like, we're Adult Swim has a million cartoons, you know, there's even like Fox has animation domination and
right.
You know, we've seen every kind of twist on, you know, it's not taking something that's only for kids anymore. So yeah. Unfortunately that is kind of gone.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yeah.
There sure are a lot of like creepy, sexy schoolgirl dating games on Steam.
Oh yeah.
Because of the holiday sale, I was like going through my queue, my discovery queue every day, and by the end of that sale, I was really plumbing the bottom of the barrel. And I was like, wow, there's a lot more of these games out in the US not on Vita than I thought.
Yep.
I didn't really have one for this category. Everything I played seemed like, I don't know.
Timeless.
Like, it's hard to imagine something that couldn't be made today because there's so much stuff being made.
Everything
and especially
right.
with going through that queue and just seeing the stuff that was out there. There's a lot. Dave.
Every niche gets catered to today. Well, I yeah. also had a tough time. I think the closest thing I could get to fit this category was 3D Galaxy Force 2, which okay. you know came out last year or the year before the 3DS version, and obviously yes. the original decades ago. And it occurred to me, mostly because of the graphical style. We don't push sprites around anymore. We don't create 3D worlds with sprites. I think it's such a cool visual aesthetic, a 3D world being created with sprites. But that's just me, probably because I grew up that if you made that game today, it would be because you were deliberately trying to make it look like a Sega Super Scalar game, yeah. and you probably wouldn't actually use sprites. You'd use texture mapped polygons, you know, meant to look like sprites. And also it occurred to me that I can't think of a whole heck of a lot of third person arcadey space shooters these days. Like yeah. there's Star Fox, and that got delayed to this year. And other than that, you know, there's a lot of way more simmy space games. There's a lot of cockpit, you know, that seems like a real popular thing now, but the behind the back of the ship arcade style space shooter is one of those retro genres that does not seem to be in vogue right now.
True. All right, next category. Best Humble Bundle find.
Yeah.
Yeah. My find of the year, I thought it was going to be, what is it, Gunman Clive. And then I realized that it is actually Monument Valley for the Android phone, which I
heard that was very good. Yeah.
I bought this bundle I don't even know when. It was at least a year ago. And I bought it for Monument Valley, but it would not fucking install for some reason on my S4. So I got a new phone, and one of the first things I did was like, oh, I wonder if I can finally install that. And yeah, it worked totally fine. It is a perspective puzzle game, like Echo Chrome or Fez, in a way. I don't know. It's just neat.
Right.
It works well on the phone. It's not. Yeah, it's a cool phone game.
God, I've had that game for forever on my phone, and I haven't played it.
You should play it. It's good.
I should play it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dave.
Zeo Drifter, which I got in the 3DS Humble Bundle, though, of course, it is also available for everything else. It was released very late in 2014, so it just barely makes the cut, and obviously is just painfully overshadowed by Axiom Verge. But for what it is, which is Metroid Lite, Metroid casual, a Metroid that you don't need to be emotionally invested in to enjoy. It's great at that, and a good deal of fun, and it's expertly made. Whis.
Mine was Tales from Space: Mutant Blobs Attack. I had, you know, wrote it off.
Yeah,
to me,
well, yeah.
It was just I knew very little about it, and it very much kind of filled my Katamari just a little bit of Katamari need with a 2D coat of paint, very bright and cool art style, especially for being, I think it's like 3 or 4 years old now, yeah. which isn't like super old, but, you know, it's still held up very well. Became very addictive with nice variants per level. Nice little poppy soundtrack. It became very addicting. Like, I blew through that game very quickly when I went through it. So if that is in your collection, which it very well might.
Yeah, I think it is. Games.
So it's worth giving a shot.
It's not in my Steam library, but I think I have it over PlayStation Plus.
I'm pretty sure I have it in my Steam library.
Yeah.
From a Humble Bundle.
It's one of those games that everybody has somewhere, I think.
Yeah, I would not have given that game a second thought had I not known that it's by the Guacamelee people.
Oh, no shit.
Right, right. I was just cleaning out my Steam library at that point. I was just like, yeah.
My Steam library is almost a 400.
Oh, God.
Yep.
Mine got a big influx, and now I'm at like 160, so.
Yeah, I just.
I'm at 328.
Oh, okay.
Man, it's just.
Yeah.
Whew. All right. Next, what do we got? Best classic soundtrack. And by classic, I guess we just mean soundtrack out of an old game that we played.
Okay.
I mean, it could be a classic. I don't know. Yeah, it's not necessarily obligatory from, you know, the 80s or 90s or whatever.
Yeah.
Dave.
Well, I did not choose Shovel Knight deliberately because it is hands down the best soundtrack of a, you know, game not from 2015 that I played. But in the sense of I did, in fact, try to stick to the sense of classic soundtrack. I awarded that to 3D Sonic the Hedgehog, which that's just a lovely soundtrack. It's got, as we've said on this podcast before, there's a certain melancholy to it that only that particular Sonic game really nails, while still sort of setting the soundstage for the rest of the series to follow. Great soundtrack.
Oh, we hear.
Special note for Crimson Shroud, because it's such a small game, and you kind of forget about that soundtrack that's by Sakamoto, you know, the Tactics Final Fantasy 12 guy, and it's very, very good. Mine is kind of a tie between Grim Fandango and 3D Galaxy Force 2. It's hard to give Galaxy Force 2 that award because it's 5 songs, but each of those 5 songs is
pretty good.
Amazing. And Grim Fandango, as I've said, one of my favorite just classic soundtracks. So it's hard to those are both beautiful. Yeah.
Hey, that Grim Fandango remaster came out that past year.
What's it? Oh, well,
because I just realized that it won like your best soundtrack of last year on the blank of the year as well.
Was it
Crimson Shroud? It is.
Did I play it last year? No, I didn't play it last year though. Did I play it? Oh, okay. Well, let's give it to Galaxy Force 2. Whatever. You know, no one's winning anything, so let's move on.
Yeah. It was just more that it was just stuck in my head that, like, didn't it just win something from Weiss like 2 weeks ago? Like, what's going on here? Someone's on the take.
Yeah. My current and past.
Yeah. My best soundtrack goes to Final Fantasy 13 2, which has a really good soundtrack. It does. It has a really good, varied soundtrack, which most people probably never hear because they're not going to play Final Fantasy 13 2. And they probably shouldn't, really. But I did, and I'm very happy to have those songs on the new Theat Rhythm to play. Good variety of, you know, classic score and J-poppy and just all kinds of stuff. You might hear a little more about that later. All right. Wild Card Award. So to recognize some game for some fucking Christ mother.
That's why we do this.
Fucking Christ mother.
Oh, she's just like texting me about international calling on her phone. And I'm just like, I don't fucking know, woman. Use the internet. All right, Weiss.
All right. I'll blow through mine because you can't do one. It's hard. Game I most need to beat so I can move on to the sequel. Suikoden. I didn't get to play, or I played a decent amount of that game. I didn't have shit to say about it. like, which says a lot. I don't know. Game worth installing GOG's client is Toonstruck. Most surprising depth for a hateful boyfriend, and game I most want to get back to is Lisa, which I started and really get to give a lot of time to. So,
The only game I want to recognize is my worst PlayStation Plus find, which was Mickey Mouse and the Castle of Illusion HD. That game was not good. Technically, there was a worse game that was played in our house. There was like a Sherlock Holmes game that Lauren played that was fucking trash. But I didn't play it myself. I didn't know it, but I know it now.
Sherlock Holmes, Crimes and Punishments?
Yeah. I wanted to call it Sin and Punishment or Trials and Tribulations. I knew neither of those was correct. All right, Dave.
My wild card award is for like a it is unusual these days that I get to stumble across a true like hidden gem, a really old game that I honestly knew nothing about, and someone pitched it to me and said, hey, this game is really good, you should try it. Oh, okay, wow, holy shit, this game is fucking good, Robert. How did I never know about Vice Project Doom? I know.
You never heard of it?
I only from, like, in my mind, I can picture the cover of the one Nintendo Power that was on. That is literally all I ever knew about Vice Project Doom my whole life. And then you play it and you're like, holy shit, this is a really good NES platformer.
I still need to play it.
It feels like it came out of nowhere from the depths of history, this undiscovered gem. Thanks, Robert P., for turning us on to it.
I forgot to write that on my my list. But we covered it pretty thoroughly on
all the classics are so known now. How often do you really discover something like that?
Yeah,
I guess Galaxy Force 2 would have been mine on that list because I didn't really know about it till Dave was talking about it. So
you're welcome.
All right.
Yeah.
Next, we got best use of butt.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
I'm happy that stayed.
Prestigious.
We did not vet this list at all, so everything that was there last year stayed this year.
It'll be there next year.
Oh, yeah. Best use of butt. My award goes to Lightning Returns for all of Lightning's fancy outfits, and that, like, every battle starts with a low shot upper. Not up. No, not, like, it's just behind her. Like, her ass is right there. All right, Dave.
Best use of I had to go a little bit interpretive with this because I honestly could not think of any games that I played that prominently feature butts. But in the terms of uncomfortable sexuality, this easily goes to Mount of Friends, which I only just discovered.
Oh, fuck, right.
This
God
year
damn it.
At your house.
What is?
Mount Your Friends.
And then we all played it together at my house, and then I had to share it with my own like siblings, and then my brother like starts texting me like, how do I get that game that we played? How do I play it? What's Steam? So, and now he is playing it like nightly with his roommate. And it's Mount Your Friends rocked our all of our collective worlds.
Nice.
With its significant.
Well, if I go with uncomfortable sexuality, I didn't take it that I could say Toonstruck for their BDSM cows, which is just kind of like where they really wanted to push their adult as far as they could just for one scene that I assume was in all of their marketing. But my best use of butt goes to Dick Gumshoe from Miles Edgeworth, because his butt on a bench was a prominent part of one of the last cases in Miles Edgeworth. It was the only one with an actual butt I could think of for anything I played.
First butt that comes to mind.
Yep, Dick Gumshoe.
All right. Most dated, Dave. Yeah.
And this was hard because, you know, the old games I discovered, most of them were all like, oh, this is a really cool old game. They didn't feel dated necessarily, but they games like Strider 2 were impressive, but definitely feels like a product of its time. But the only one that was kind of painful to return to, and only a little bit for me, was Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. And really, it's only because it
Pitchfork
is my
siege engines.
Like by now, that game is my Skyward Sword. It is like, I'm so burnt out on this formula, I can barely enjoy this game anymore. So that's it for me.
Okay, Whis.
I was gonna say Fallout New Vegas, sort of, but I went with Pinball of the Dead, as good as it is. The just the sprites really rough. It's just rough. Like, it's a great game.
It's a great game, but God, it's a pile of garbage on your screen.
Yeah, it really
what
is.
Are those terrible pre-rendered low-resolution blobs? It's just ill-advised visually. Yep.
Clumpy and moving fingerprints.
And for me, most dated goes to Resident Evil 4, technically the HD edition, which I revisited and was like, whoa, we've... And I'm not, you know, like, dragging Resident Evil 4 through the mud necessarily, but, like, that, the third-person shooter has come a long way since Resident Evil 4 basically invented how to make it work.
Yeah.
Just in terms of the movement controls, and also you just, like, look at the number, the variety of enemies, like, enemy sprites is, character models is just very small, and it's just like it is that game shows its age quite a bit. It's weird. I feel like the Resident Evil remake probably like holds up better for what it is than Resident Evil 4 does, just because I don't know.
It's a more focused experience.
Yeah, and like for what Resident Evil the original does, like that hasn't really been. It became Resident Evil 4, so
yeah.
That style specifically has kind of been abandoned.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most timeless. Whis.
Well, while Dave put Galaxy Force 2 as a product of its time, I'm putting it as most timeless because I think a unique art direction really sets a game just out of its, you know, when it was made. And I don't know anything else that looks like that game.
Yeah.
And that game was so far ahead of 1988.
Anything, all of its contemporaries. Yeah. It does not. Yeah.
So I could throw that to somebody and I don't think they would know when it was made. I mean, they probably wouldn't be like, oh, this is top of the line right now, but it's, I don't know. Like it's, yeah, it's motherfucking timeless.
Yeah.
My choice for most timeless is Metal Slug 3.
Because
that game is awesome. That game is still freaking awesome. That is the pinnacle of the Metal Slug series right there. And I think this is the first time I played through it like all the way, and especially in the context of like the entire rest of the series that I also played at the same time. Like it just stands out so much against the rest of them. For just nailing everything they were going for and sending that team out with a bang, or that team sending the series out with a bang.
They shot everybody.
Everybody got shot fucking everywhere. It was crazy. Dave.
I don't have a pick that I feel as strongly about as I did last year. I picked Shadow of the Colossus, which having had played for the first time last year, I was like, yes, this game is such a singular experience that and there's so little else like it that, you know, you can't say, oh, it's like this, but it's not as good because it's older. No, it is such its own thing. So this year, I don't feel as strongly about this, but I picked Okami because of the art style. It is gorgeous. It is still so beautiful to play. It's such a, especially, you know, updated with HD and widescreen. That art style, that was a good call because boy, has it stood the test of time. It's such a colorful, gorgeous game to look at and play. The animation is really good. I think the only thing
Clover going out with a bang.
Yeah. The only
PS2 going out with a bang.
The only things that give it away are its interface. The menu is it's pretty wordy in the way that
that's what gives away a lot of PS2 games.
Yeah,
really, it's that UI.
Yep. Yeah.
But other than that, it looks beautiful and plays. You know, it's just as well as any other game of its type. So Okami.
All right, got game that everyone should play. Mm. So I guess this is kind of the best old game award in a way. For me, that game is Super Mario 3D World on the Wii U. That game is awesome. It took me way too long, even after owning a Wii U, to finally just break down and just like, I am just going to buy this fucking game for $50 because Nintendo never drops their prices. And it's awesome. It lived up to its hype of being an awesome Mario game.
Did that come out in 2013 or 14?
It did. It came out in 2013. Okay. Yeah, it's not too old. Something else. Oh, yeah, that was Lightning Returns, was the other 2013 thing I played. I was like, man, I'm just really hitting that year for some reason. That's a great high-quality Mario game that I think a lot of people are not going to get to touch because they don't have a Wii U, sadly.
Mm-hmm.
Dave?
I picked The Legend of Zelda Four Swords Adventures. Not because I think it's a particularly great game, but because I think it's such a unique game, there's a lot about it that is really instructive in terms of game design, in terms of its place within the Zelda series, and in terms of the kinds of things Nintendo was doing at that time. There are so many weird design decisions in that game. It's kind of a miracle that it works at all. I still think it's a really fun game and it's totally worth playing, but also it's such a unique idea. It is, you know, Zelda simplified to the point that it is basically a game of gauntlet because there is nothing carries over from level, but there is no persistence at all. It is an arcade Zelda experience that totally succeeds at being that none of the subsequent Zeldas that tried to do that. I'm looking at you, this year's Triforce Adventure Warriors. Is that what it was called? Yeah.
Triforce Heroes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Failed to do. It's the way it reuses the graphics from older Zelda games and makes this weird cut and paste thing that somehow works despite every obstacle that it puts in front of itself is interesting, if nothing else. It's a case study in a game from a time and place that shouldn't have worked, but it does. It's a learning experience.
Weath?
Yeah. Barring any involvement by Grim Fandango, because that would actually be sort of a cheat with the remaster, because I would want that control scheme. But I'm giving it to Shovel Knight just because it's such a joyous experience. Like, if I want everyone to play a game, I think, like, that's the most inviting variance and just happy, enjoyable video game from front to back. So,
especially, I think, for someone that has not played video games since then.
Right.
Not only will it immediately remind them of that time, but its difficulty is way more balanced. It's still challenging, but it's fair.
Even if it's not there to just remind you of the, I think, like, on its own, it would still grab somebody's attention enough to be like, well, if you like that, maybe you could go back and check out these Mega Man games.
That's such a great game.
Yeah. Got excellent game.
All right, in our final category, the best song ever to recognize.
This is such a stupid category, by the way.
Oh, yeah. No, like every episode of Games of Future Past where we remember to do it gets a best song ever. So it's just kind of a thing we do on the show.
Gotcha.
So, Dave, what's your best song ever?
Strike the Earth from Shovel Knight. God, that's such a hot jam. That is as iconic as Vampire Killer. Like, and it is not even the game's main theme. It's just the theme from the first stage. And just immediately, it's such a good song. And for me, it's kind of the song that represents that game. It's the unofficial theme song of that game, I guess.
Yep. Yeah.
Such a good song.
No. All right. Yeah. Weiss, go on.
Well, mine is, again, I'm cheating, but mine is still Vert. I've got my number one, I'm giving to Soak Patrol Alpha from Mighty Switch Force 2.
Ooh.
Yeah. And my number, somebody else on Bandcamp loved it. it's, if you heard it, it's the more melancholy one, which leads me also to just point out that my close runner-up from Shovel Knight isn't Strike the Earth, which I do really like, but it's a tie between the Starlit Wilds, the campfire song, and its sad cousin, the Requiem of Shield Knight, which is the same song, just minor key. I think that's the best song in the game. And that coming back to represent Shield Knight was just really cool.
And my best song ever for this crop of games would have to be Crazy Chocobo, the death metal Chocobo theme from Final Fantasy 13 2. Which is also I made sure to download in Theat Rhythm Curtain Call. That was a DLC song.
Is there screaming?
There is. The song is freaking ridiculous. You have to look it up. It is so fucking stupid. Like, I heard it well before I played the game, but then even playing it and running around on this chocobo while this song plays is just insane.
What's it called again?
Awesome. Crazy Chocobo, Final Fantasy 13 2. Look it up.
All right.
Are you doing that right now?
Yeah, well, I've got the Google search queued up.
Well, we're done with this episode, man.
Right.
Like, we're...
You can just put it at the end of the episode.
I usually do.
Shield Knight's theme.
That might work out better for an end of the episode.
Soak Patrol Alpha.
Tune.
Yeah. Just so people know what it is.
Yeah. My favorite song from Switch Force 2 is the credits roll, Rescue Girl.
Oh, yeah. That's a great song.
It is. It's really good.
What's your favorite Shovel Knight track?
Oh, probably Strike the Earth. Right. Or I really like... Plague Knight's stage is really good.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
Dance Macabre is a close second for me. I love that one.
There's a lot of good freaking tracks.
They're all pretty good.
There are a lot of pretty good tracks in that game.
Because of this category, I went through every track of like a lot of these games. I have Mr. Frustration Man from Grim Fandango. And
all right, are we done here, Dave?
We're done.
Oh,
we're
okay. Done. All right, I didn't know whether we were going to hear it coming through your microphone or not.
No.
All right. Yeah, well, that wraps it up for the backlog of the year. I got to play more of my backlog this year in 2016. Yeah. Oh, Julia Page.
Julia Page.
She wants to know who's done.
We're done. We're all done. We're all done. All right, everybody, thanks for listening, and catch you later on Fat Gatsby.
Bye.